You're listening to another great podcast in the MyMac Podcasting Network.
TechFan Podcast number 507. I'm Tim Robertson, doing this for a very long time with my friend David Cohen. Hello, David.
Hello.
It's been a long time.
It has been a long time.
Yeah.
It's so long that I now don't think this is a new show.
No.
Yeah. It's finally been long. It only took about 10 years. But
September 2010.
Yeah.
It's been more than 10 years.
Nearly 15 years. Yeah. Wow.
Well, we're working towards 14 years here.
Yeah. I think, you know, give it probably another 3-4 years, we might actually get good at this.
You know, that's a big ask.
Everyone's got to bear with us in the meantime.
So 10 years ago, these were the four shows that we did that month, because we didn't have Geeks Pub at the time, so it was just the show. So in reverse order, show 164 came out May 31st, 2014, Amazon and Hatchet. I have no idea. Tim Robertson and David Cohen discussed the battle between Amazon and Hatchet. Who the hell's Hatchet?
I think we know who won that one because we don't know who
Hatchet is. Oh, yeah, Hatchet got the hatchet.
Was it Hatchet with two T's?
Yes.
Yeah, I think that's a book publisher.
Ah.
A British book publisher.
Was or is?
Well.
Yeah. That's kind of my point.
Well, I'm sure they're doing. Yeah, they're still going, Hatchet UK.
Hmm.
But I don't know what the battle. Can't remember what the battle with them and Amazon was. So.
I think Amazon must have won that one.
Well, we can't look it up because Google's brand search.
Right.
with their AI. So we can't rely on the answers from Google. So.
Did you want to take a hatchet to the Amazon rainforest? Is that what you mean?
Exactly. I have found an article in the New Yorker from 2014. Amazon versus Hachette. They're called Hachette, I think. What would Orwell think? Amazon made it hard for customers to buy their books while the two companies fight over ebook terms. Was what was going on. Obviously, it was resolved one way or the other, because we've not heard of it since, and Amazon has not been sued for antitrust on books, unlike...
I thought they had been sued, or... Wow. I know Apple was sued, and they're like 1% of the market.
They lost. That was really ridiculous. But again, much like what's happening now, it's about how people view you rather than necessarily what you do.
Yeah.
Because I would argue that Amazon is far more anti-competitive in books than Apple.
Oh, that's not even close, yeah.
But they've never been dinged for it. They're being dinged for other things now. But again, the sort of things that people complain about Amazon about, when the regulators talk about, don't seem to be the big things they do.
Exactly. You know. 10 years ago, on May 26th, 2014, TechFan 163, Xbox Surface Pro 1. We discussed Microsoft's decision to dump the Kinetic and the Xbox One. Remember, that was that bar that could see movement? The new Surface Pro laptop. I didn't realize Surface Pro has been around that long.
Yeah, it has, because the Surface line came out with Windows 8 in 2013. It's been around for a long time. And, you know, kind of has not... It's not done as well as people think it has. If you look around businesses, you'll see a lot of Surface tablets in particular. Not so much the laptops, but a lot of the tablets. But having said that, I don't think it's a mass market device. You also see many, many more MacBooks, because a lot of people prefer those. But what it has done is it's... I would say the competition from the Surface tablet is what's pushed the iPad towards the Pro line. We'll be talking about that in a bit anyway. I don't think if it was the Surface Pro, the Magic Keyboard would even exist.
No, I agree with you.
Yeah.
The HP 7 Plus, which was I don't remember if you had it or I had it. But
yeah, it was a tiny seven inch Windows tablet.
Did you own that?
No, I had one.
Did you?
I don't know whether you did or not, but I had one.
I don't think I did, because it doesn't look too familiar.
Yeah. At the time, it was pretty good. The problem is that Windows bloated, and anything like that is now completely and utterly unusable.
Well, you can buy one for $20 right now.
Yeah, but you won't be able to load any software on it. That's the problem.
That's the who cares. And Lego Marvel Super Heroes video game. TechFan 162, no power. Let's see. Apple buying Beats. That was 10 years ago. a long email from Neil Wharton. Neil's been writing for a long time for us.
Yeah.
To us. GTA 5 online gaming. I can't believe that's...
So it's been all that time and GTA 6 still not out.
And then we had a discussion that should a company sue over an honest though negative review? I already know how that one went. Yes, yep. They should not be able to sue.
Yeah.
As long as it's honest. And then the last one, actually there's two more. So we did 5 shows that month. On May 6th, the greatest video games. We did a whole long thing about the, I guess, the best video games.
It'd be interesting to go back and revisit that list and see how many of those haven't been updated since then. And also, as well, how many...
Would still be on the list?
Still be on the list, yeah. That might be a fun show to do.
Yeah, I mean, what would be fun is to say these are the top 10 video games of all time and then see what it would have been like 10 years ago, see how many came out since then. Because as an example... Legend of Zelda, the one for the Switch, would totally be within the top 3 or 4 for me. Well, that didn't exist 10 years ago. So it would have knocked something off. Pac-Man's still the best of all time. I don't care what anybody says. So yeah, we've been doing this a long time. We weren't even planning on talking about that, but here we go. No. So let's get into some of the cool stuff. But first of all, I'm on Geek's Pub. So that might be why you can't see the updated notes.
Well, you're putting it in the wrong note.
Well, you share the wrong note. You shared Geek's Pub.
I didn't know. Geek's Pub was already shared, but I shared a new one with you.
I don't see that.
Called Tech Fan Notes.
Where did you send that?
Well, this is what I was saying to you. You'd think that would be notes, but no. When you share a note, the invite goes to messages.
I'm on Messages, and on Sunday, May 19th, you shared Geek's Pub.
Right, well, the one I shared was I shared, I think I shared yesterday.
No, there's nothing there.
Well, that's the problem, you see. I've sent you the invite, and you haven't received it. So let me remove access and share it with you again and see if it comes through.
Yeah, let's see.
But the stupid thing about notes is you would think if you send an invite to somebody to collaborate on a note, that it would appear in notes, that invitation. But it doesn't. It goes to iMessage.
You know, you need to stop trying to make sense here, bud.
Well, obviously, collaborate.
Yeah.
Here's an interesting thing. Bearing in mind I'm on a new phone, so this is supposedly got all the same stuff that was on my old phone that I was using last week.
Right,
I migrated over. I've gone to collaborate, and the first thing you had, that horizontal list of people you can collaborate with.
Yep.
And the first one is a FaceTime contact, and there's basically a long string of hexadecimal numbers. I don't know who that is.
That's probably me.
Anyway, I'm going to send to... Right, so I'm sending it to Tim Robertson.
Yep.
And I'm seeing the iMessage stream where I said I was waiting on wire before we started.
Yep.
So I'm sending that to you now.
Is there a copy link option? Okay.
No, well, you'd only be able to see it then. You won't be able to edit it.
All right, so I got it.
You got that now.
Yep.
So if you open that, it should give you access to the note and allow you to put stuff in there, and I should be able to see
it. I could see your giant cursor at the end of whatever you had already posted, but it looks like it's not sharing the data yet.
Well, there's no data in it, because you took a copy of the note from last week, and you were going to put all the stuff in. So it says Tech Fan Notes, and it says paste your copy in here, and hopefully I'll be able to see the links. Oh, can you see that?
Sure. Yeah, I can. I'm trying to go to my old note. This is riveting podcasting for our listeners.
Of course. Well, you know what? It is kind of an illustration of how non-intuitive this is.
Yeah. Okay. I just posted in all the stuff.
Right. So I'm going to wait now and see if that appears in my... It should have happened instantly. All right, it's happening now. But currently I've got the same problem that I had with the old note, which is all of those grey link boxes that are in the note are just showing as loading, and they're not populating with anything.
So this is the mission before our next show.
So find something else that
works. Find something else, because this is stupid.
Yeah, this just doesn't work.
Yeah, and we just did that in real time. For any people who are like super Apple fanatics listening to the show, Apple can do no wrong. Look, we both love Apple too, as far as their products go. But man, some of their services just suck. And here's a prime example.
Yeah, there's no reason for this, because the grey boxes we're talking about, anybody's used. You can put links into an Apple Note too.
Right, you just drag it over. That's what I do.
Well, that's the thing. If you copy and paste a link in, it puts it in as a URL.
Yeah,
which is simple. But if you drag it over like you do, it puts some sort of artifact in, which is like you see in iMessage. It's like a little. It's like the image for the page. You know, if it's got a shortcut image or something like that, and it will have the title of the page, and then it will have a little summary of the first couple of lines. And those are the things.
Well, you know what? Here's the thing. I did that from Chrome. Let me try this. I'm gonna one of the same ones. I'm gonna drag in from Safari. Well, I can't drag it. How do you drag it from Safari?
Don't you just drag from the title bar?
No, I'm trying.
Or do you just share it to Notes from...
Well, that's stupid.
From Safari.
Yeah, I can share it to Notes. And it says which... Well, it doesn't give me... Okay, there it is. So, I want to go to TechFan Notes and share. All right, it did it on mine. Did it do on yours?
So is that the thing you've put in at the bottom?
Yep.
Yeah, and you did that from Safari, not from Chrome.
And I shared the note. I didn't drag it over.
Yeah, so it's still showing as loading here.
Yeah, it's garbage.
They're all showing as loading. Yeah. So it's garbage.
Yeah.
It's somewhere is trying to generate those links.
Yep.
And for some reason, on my iCloud, they don't work.
Yeah.
From you.
Yep.
Now, you're right, it could be something to do with Chrome, because some of these could be... Google likes to scramble links into their own format using AMP and things like that, and it could be those don't work properly. But if you've just taken the thing from Safari, it should just work straight away. And really, all it is URL generation. It should not... They've designed a system that's overcomplicated that doesn't work.
I'm sitting here clicking, and I'm trying to view it as small instead of large, and I'm hoping maybe... Yeah,
I can see you selecting them, but they're just not rendering for me any of them.
And there's no option for me to click and say, you know, show as just a simple link.
No, it's if I click option. On the... Yeah, and if I click on any of them, the only option I have is delete.
It doesn't even open the link?
Nope.
All right, so what I'm going to do is I'm posting in the actual link under each one, because...
Right.
It's stupid.
And now I can go straight to one of those, so.
So dumb.
So, yeah. So, you know, you say Apple, it just works. When it comes to cloud services, it doesn't. I don't think any of their stuff just works anymore.
No, it doesn't seem to.
No.
So let's talk about your new iPad here.
Yeah.
Because, obviously, that does work, but it's... Why that can work, and you know, they put that much money and effort, and I can't share a simple frickin' note.
Yeah,
there.
So, listeners who listen to previous shows will remember that my 11-inch iPad, the week before the announcements of the new devices, I took it out of my bag when I was on vacation. It had a big crack across it, and I took this as the universe telling me I needed to buy a new iPad.
Which is good timing, because a new one was coming.
Rather than just get it fixed. Yeah, but as new ones are coming, I thought, you know what? My eyes are not getting younger. I'm in my mid-50s. I could probably bear going to a 13-inch iPad again. I've had them in the past. Obviously, they're not quite as convenient as an 11-inch iPad. If you want to hold it in your hand and browse it in portrait mode, the 13 ones are a little bit bigger, a little bit bulkier. And in the past, that's why I've had them and then got rid of them again, because I thought, you know, the 11-inch was more handy. But, as I say, the eyes aren't getting any better. And actually, nowadays, many people use an iPad on a keyboard, which is what I do. And so if it's mounted to a Magic Keyboard or a Keyboard Folio, it's always sat on the desk, propped up in landscape mode. It doesn't really matter how big it is, because you're not toting it around as much. So I thought to myself, maybe I'll go for the 13. And one of the things that I realised when I started researching back about this is the original 13-inch iPad Pro was quite cheap compared to what it is now.
Yeah.
It's now well over $1,000 for a 13-inch iPad Pro. And for an iPad, which we've talked before about, you've got some functional limitations from iPad OS on there. You know, it's a lot of money to spend on a tablet that has limited functionality. So Apple has realized this, and they have introduced a 13-inch version of the iPad Air at around the same price as the original 13-inch iPad Pro, around about $800. And so I decided I was going to buy one of these, and I placed my order on ordering day, and it arrived on the first day that it was out, which was just over a couple of weeks ago, on Wednesday, and I set it up, and, you know, yeah, it's a big iPad. It's
so this is top of the line iPad.
Well, it's not a Pro. This doesn't have the new screen. This is an Air, and 13-inch iPad Air.
Gotcha.
So it's basically, apart from them not having Face ID and having less cameras on the back, it's basically the previous M2 iPad Pro. It doesn't have as good a screen, but the internals are the same as the previous M2 iPad Pro. So you get an M2 processor, 13-inch screen, Touch ID rather than Face ID, a screen that's not quite as good as the previous iPad Pro, doesn't have ProMotion or anything like that on it. But you know what? It's an iPad. It works like an iPad. It was relatively easy to set up. They all have USB-C on now. They've had that for a while, so that was all good. The thing I like about the Air is that it's, because the design hasn't changed from the previous Pro, is compatible with all the old peripherals. So I was able to get a Magic Keyboard for it that was effectively unused, and yet I paid a third of the new price for it. And the Magic Keyboard is very, very nice on this device. But $350 for a keyboard, I'm not going to pay that. I'm sorry.
I heard that the new keyboard is a game changer, though. Because I have the Magic Keyboard for my iPad Pro, which is the iPad Pro 2 M2 chip. And
yeah, it's
when I go out...
And you've got a 13 as well. Yeah.
So when I go out on the deck, I use a keypad because I'm watching videos and doing stuff like that as I'm doing yard work and whatever. And it's just easier to use the trackpad and keyboards than it is the touchscreen when it's in that mode, right?
Yep.
I always found the keyboard a little janky. It was okay. It doesn't have any function keys. It doesn't have a volume key. And I found that annoying. Why doesn't this have a volume key? Why do I still have to reach up? And I never liked that the iPad, if I'm in one mode, pushing the up button, you know, on the side, makes it go louder. If I go horizontal, the buttons flip.
Yep.
How stupid is that? Why do you change what the physical button does depending on the portrait or horizontal?
I don't know whether you can turn that off.
I don't think
so.
I've never looked either, but it's super annoying.
Yeah, it is. And obviously the new one has function keys and the shortcut keys for all of the stuff, like you would have on a regular Mac keyboard.
Exactly, and that's why I say it's kind of a game changer, although it's insulting on how much they charge for it.
Well, yeah, and also as well, it's not compatible with your iPad. So the new one you can't buy anyway. You are stuck with the one you've got.
Yep.
Like I say, for me, I understand what you're saying about the functional keys. I've not really noticed that too much. I tend to use control panel for that sort of stuff. Just swipe down from the top right.
Right, but my whole point is I don't want to touch the screen when I'm sitting on the deck.
I understand that. You can also do it with your watch, I think, as well. But the advantage is, you can use those old peripherals, which means you can get them for a song compared to what Apple charged. This one I bought, it was from a pawn shop, you know, cash converters or something like that. Not that sort of thing. A pawn.
Different keyboard.
Pawn. Yeah. I paid £120 for it, which That is a third of the price. And it looks brand new. I mean, it came in the box and everything. It looks brand new, and it works brand new, and I'm very pleased with it. Good. And I think that sort of money is round about what you should pay for a good quality keyboard for a tablet. I don't think Apple really can justify the $350 they want for the Magic Keyboard for a new one.
It's
you know what? What must be more insulting is people upgrading from earlier iPad Pros who have to buy a whole brand new one again now as well to get those extra function keys.
Yep.
And the aluminium deck and all of the other things that it comes with.
Well, I can tell you I have zero desire to upgrade my iPad. Yes, I know the OLED screen is going to be better and the blackers will be black and you can see it better in the daylight and all that stuff, or in the sunlight, I should say. But I don't need it. Unless mine breaks, I'm not buying a new iPad.
And I had an 11-inch Air with the chip that came before the M series.
Yep.
And then I got an M1 Air, and now I'm on an M2 Air, and I really can't tell the difference between them in terms of how they operate in.
Well, you're not pushing the limits of it. In fact, I don't know if anybody is.
I don't know what you can do to push the limits of it, really.
Yeah, if you're doing video editing and stuff like that.
Well, you know what? I did video editing on this yesterday. My daughter had a drama performance on Friday. I shot the whole thing on my phone. And obviously, I'm sat in the audience. I've got people on the edges of the screen and people shuffling around and this, that, and the other. And then they were moving around on stage. So sometimes they were all in the middle, sometimes they were spread to the edges. So I opened up LumaFusion yesterday and I imported the video and I basically added some keyframes so that I could crop and zoom the video and it would automatically track what the crop and zooms were so I could keep the focus on the kids on the stage all the time. That it was a 13.5-minute video, so it wasn't small. That took me about half an hour, 40 minutes to get all those same things in. Re-rendered it out, job done. And it wasn't slow.
Right.
So I think I was taking advantage of it.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's just one job. Most of the time, you know, it's like all the computers. Most of the time they're sitting there waiting for us to do something. Of course, you know, you do have that business with the iPad that... And during that render, which I probably took about 2 minutes, something like that, had I switched away from the app to something else, it probably would have stopped. I've had to do it all again because it doesn't do stuff in the background most of the time, unless Apple says, blesses it. Look, it's a nice device. I think if you have very basic needs and you're not interested in a big screen, then probably the base level iPad, which I bought for my daughter a couple of months ago for her birthday, is also extremely good value. Compared to everything else in the lineup now. I think if you are looking at an Air and you don't want the bigger screen, you should maybe ask yourself whether you need the Air or you can have the 11-inch regular one because they're very, very similar, except for performance. And as we've just said, performance is not really important. I'm not really sure nowadays who the pros are for because, you get that fabulous screen and all of that, but, you know, they are so expensive.
Yep.
They start at $1,000 and that's before you've even added any accessories or anything like that. That's a lot of money for something that is functionally so, has some drawbacks. And I know a lot of people are going, oh, well, they've released these new iPads now. I bet there'll be major changes to iPadOS at WWDC to take advantage of them. No, they won't. No. I really don't believe there will be. I don't think iPadOS is a focus for Apple at the moment. I think they're very much all about AI and the chips and what they can do with AI, and I think they will do that across the OS line. I don't think they're looking at function improvements at iPadOS this year. I'd love to be wrong, but I don't think. I think they've had 2 years trying to do that. They brought in Stage Manager and then tweaked it last year. I think as far as they're concerned, the job is done for the moment. And I think they see the iPad Pro as the iPad for people who have lots of disposable income and just buy the best. And I don't think they think anything more than that. All the stuff they showed at the event, like the multi the multicam update to Final Cut Pro, that still has that same rendering problem. You could be there doing multicam edits in Final Cut Pro on your iPad And it'd be fantastic. I'm sure it would be. And then you go to render the thing, and you can't do anything else on the computer while you're rendering, because if you switch away from Final Cut Pro, Apple's own product, the operating system is saying no background processing for you, even though you've got the world's fastest chip in there. Yeah, you can't work in the background, and it'll stop. And that kind of makes the whole thing a little bit pointless, in on my view.
Yep.
So, anyway, yeah, I'm like all of us. We've said before that there isn't really a tablet market. There's an iPad market, and then there's whatever everything else is. I still think that's the case, and I think what Apple are doing is differentiating themselves inside their own market. But I think as a whole, they're not really pushing it forward that much. And I think the iPad has suffered. We all worried for quite a long number of years that Apple was all about iOS and iPadOS, and the Mac was going to get left behind. And then they had an epiphany, what, about 6-7 years ago, where they realized the Mac was really important. And they've refocused on the Mac. And I think they've done that. And just like the Eye of Sauron, they can't look at more than two things at once. They've refocused on the Mac, and they've kind of forgotten about the iPad again. So they have these hardware teams who just juice them up every single year. And it's like putting lipstick on, not lipstick on a pig, because it's not a pig, but it's like adding fins and, cherry exhaust and stuff like that to right. to a Japanese sports car. Yeah. It doesn't, all it's doing is it's cosmetic. You know, you're adding all this performance that it can't use.
So I just went and say I want to buy the new iPad, and I want to trade mine in.
Yeah.
So I picked the iPad that would be the same as the one I've got. I think. Let me double check, because I couldn't remember how much storage I have in mine. Didn't it tell you under about?
It does. Yeah.
iPad Pro 20 would be a big one. 12.9-inch capacity. Okay, I've got 256 gig. And I've got 141 gigs free. So actually, I went up to 512 because I thought I had 512, but I don't.
Yeah.
So going up to the 512, so I have twice as much storage, which I totally don't need, and trading mine in, this is without a case, without a keyboard, just the new iPad, would be $919. So they're giving me... $580.
That is the trade-ins are not good at Apple anymore.
No, that's bad.
I looked at the trade-ins for my 11-inch M1 Pro, and I think they were going to give me £280. Right, once I'd had the screen repaired.
Right.
Okay. I sold the iPad. To Music Magpie, who are one of these trading type companies. So even they're not giving you the best private
results. No, of course not. They're going to resell it.
They paid me $450 for it.
Yeah.
So I was much better doing that. And yeah, if I'd sold it privately, I probably could have got another £100 maybe. But I was buying a new one, so I didn't really want to wait. So I just traded it in. And Apple's trade-ins are not great.
And then it says, if I could finance it, I have an Apple card. They gave me an Apple card that's like $5,500 worth of spending power on it. It's paid off right now. I don't owe anything on it. It cost me $76.58 for 12 months, 0% financing, includes my $580 instant trade-in. So if you're big into iPad, this is your big thing. You use the iPad all the damn time. It's not too bad.
No. And I think financing is one of the reasons why the prices have gone up as well, because they know an awful lot of people, hands up, including myself, finance the iPad because they can spread the cost.
Yeah, I mean, if for you spread the cost and not bucks pay a month for the next year, that's nothing.
Well, if you're not paying interest,
right,
and you can afford to continue to make those payments, it's a bit of a no-brainer because it improves your cash flow. And I think that facility is one of the things why the prices on the pros are so high, because they know a lot of people who can afford to make those sort of payments will go, oh, well, you know, it doesn't really matter how much the actual total cost is because the monthly cost is affordable.
Yeah. Or $9 for Apple Care, which I totally would.
You know, I would say to anybody looking for an iPad right now, is if you don't need the features of the new Magic Keyboard, or you don't want support for the new pencil, and you want a big iPad, yeah, buy it. Buy a refurbished or used previous generation one, because you don't need the performance, you know. And your only risk is maybe you get one with a used battery that's been used pretty hard. Batteries can be changed on these things now.
I would get mine on Wednesday if I actually clicked the add to bag.
Yeah. But like you say, you've already got a 13-inch Pro. So yeah.
You get the OLED screen
and...
That's it. That's all I'm getting.
And the faster architecture, but, you know,
I'm not taking advantage of it already.
No, exactly. So
this thing could have a Pentium 3 in it, for all I know.
And I've got to be honest with you. Had my screen not cracked the week before, I probably wouldn't have bought a new one either.
Yeah.
It really was... it was perhaps a little bit indulgent of me.
Yeah, I don't think there's an upgrade cycle on the iPad. I think people buy them when they need one.
Yeah, they buy them when they need one, and they run them. My daughter, I just told you, I bought an entry-level iPad for my daughter. She had my original 10.5-inch Pro.
Yep.
That came out in 2018. Yeah. And so I'd used that for maybe three years before I upgraded mine. And then she's been using it for 3-4 years. So the only reason we changed it was because the battery was going and it had...
Well, that's had one thing. Of those. You either crack the screen,
yeah,
or the battery starts getting weak.
It had a little white patch on the screen, like I don't know, it's a pressure dead mark pixel? Or... No, it was one of those areas. iPads do this sometimes, where one of the areas of the screen kind of looks whiter than the rest. It looks brighter.
I haven't had that problem on any of the iPads I've ever had.
And to be honest with you, if it hadn't been for that screen problem, I might have said to her, you know what, I'll send it off and get the battery replaced.
Yeah.
But, you know, she had a birthday coming up, and I figured, I'll buy the new one. Now, the new one's also dropped in price, which...
Which is rare. I think I've owned... I'm going to say 4 iPads now. I bought my wife an iPad Air, so I don't count that one because that was hers. And she still uses that all the time. But that's like an iPad Air from 2018. So she could probably use a new one, but she needs a new iPhone before then. She's still on the 10, or no,
right?
The 12. What are we on?
We're on the 15. So I've just
got... Okay, she's got a 13.
Yeah.
She's got 13.
Yeah, I've been using an iPhone 13 mini since last September, I really like the form factor, but the battery life, man, was just starting to kill me.
Yeah,
I was charging it twice a day.
Yeah, that's
nice. Because it's got a small battery, and then the battery's wearing.
Yeah,
and so I spoke to the guy who used to do my job at work, the IT guy, this week, and I said, "What should I do? Should I?" When are we replacing phones? Because we used to replace them every 2 years. And he said, oh, we're not doing that anymore. We're only replacing them when they're worn out. So I said, well, in that case, the battery's worn out on this one. I'd prefer to take a new phone rather than change the battery on this one. He went, yeah, no problem. So he's given me a new iPhone 15.
Sweet.
Which is great, yeah. And, you know, it's amazing because... Now I only need to charge it every day and a half rather than every half day, which is quite fantastic. And you know what? As I said, the eyes are getting a bit older now. I am appreciating the bigger screen on the 15 versus the 13 mini.
Well, I use my phone work. You know, it's part of what I do. And I have it bothers me. I've got a scratch on the screen. I think this might be the first iPhone that I actually scratched the screen. I don't know how it happened. Right. And it kind of bothers me, but... I'm not going to replace it anytime soon.
You know what? That 13 mini had been pre-used. It was pretty banged up, actually. It had quite a few scratches on the screen. But when you were using it, you couldn't see them, but you could feel them.
Yeah,
and I could feel slightly the one, annoying. And
I see it when the screen's off.
Yeah, I just got past it, and it didn't really bother me. You know, if it was cracked, you know, sometimes I love it seeing those people who the screen isn't just cracked; it's like smashed, and then there's bits of glass missing, and still poking away at it. I love those guys.
So I, as you know, and I talked about on the show, I got a RAV4 hybrid now.
Yep.
And the one thing, there's a few things, but the one big thing I miss from my Sequoia is the sound system, which I think you were in it and experienced it.
It was very good.
Yep. Yeah. And the stock speakers, I didn't have the upgraded JBL system in this new RAV4. That comes on the next model up, and even then it was an option, and I was like, "Yeah, that's not worth, you know, another $5,000 to me."
Yeah, yeah.
It's or so I thought. I was like, eh, I don't need it. It's okay. I mostly listen to audiobooks anyways. But when I do want to rock, yeah, I just wasn't happy. And it had almost no bass from what I'm used to. So I got together with a local stereo shop. I sold the guy a car in the past, so he hooked me up with a really good price. I won't tell you how much, but well, I'll tell you. I just won't publicly say anything.
Yeah.
So I went and had him build a custom box, which I texted to you.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you saw that or not. Wasn't quite what I was hoping for, and it tips over, but it's on the side of the car, and it's kind of a shallow box. I've got to figure out a way to secure it. And I also replaced all the door speakers. The magnets on the stock speakers were about the size of a quarter, a U.S. Yeah. quarter, so small. So I went with Rockford Fosgate speakers. And everything's great. He put a great big giant amp, which is hiding underneath the car. It's not really all that easily accessible. But he screwed up. So I got to take it back in on Tuesday because my left front is now my right rear speaker.
Oh, right.
Yeah. He just has to change two wires on the amp, which isn't a big deal. But where he installed it, it's about an hour and a half to get to it, change it, and button it back up. And he's kind of pissed off because that happened. I'm like, well, imagine me, you know.
Yeah, so, the customer's always more pissed off than the guy's going to fix his mistake because he's paid you for it.
Yeah. But even with it screwy right now, it still sounds so much better.
It's interesting you say this. So my car's been in the shop for the last 3 weeks because somebody at work, while it was charging, walked into the charging flap, you know, the little... And basically just broke it all completely off. I came to the car, it was all hanging down on the floor. And wasn't very happy. Fortunately, it was caught on CCTV. I was able to track down the guy who'd been parked next to me. And he admitted it was him. And he put it all through his company's insurance. So my car got sent away. And I've waited 3 weeks to find the parts and fit them. In the meantime, they rented me I said, if you're going to take my car away to be fixed, you need to rent me an equivalent car in size. And they actually got me something slightly bigger, a Nissan X-Trail. Now I don't know when you have the you have the Rogue. Is that the smaller one?
Yep.
In the US.
No, the Rogue is a RAV4 size.
Right. I'm not sure whether anyway, this might be the Rogue or it might be something else. Very, very similar anyway. It's quite a nice car, but it is an entry-level model, and the sound system is noticeably worse than what I have in my Volkswagen. I mean, it really is.
Nissan just makes garbage cars now. It's too bad because they used to make really good cars. But
the car itself I quite like because it's a hybrid. Yeah, you wouldn't if you owned it. Well, it's a hybrid, but the engine doesn't drive the wheels. It just charges a motor, so it drives like an electric, but it's a hybrid.
Yep.
So it's pretty quiet. Yeah, I kind of like
the quality is garbage on them.
Right.
I wish they weren't because, you know, I like when there's a lot of competition, the whole industry gets lifted up. And Nissan is just making garbage now. They just are, unfortunately. And it sucks because, you know, they used to be a great brand. They used to make some awesome stuff. But they just don't anymore.
The 380Z and stuff like that.
Yeah, I always wanted a 240 when I was young. That was an awesome car. Yep. And I'd wanted it in yellow.
This is the same as the Rogue.
Yeah,
so it's the same car. It's the Rogue.
It's because when we have someone bring one of those in just a couple years old, they think they have some equity and they're still underwater because it ain't worth crap because nobody wants them, which is too bad because they look fine, but the quality, they just don't hold up.
Yeah, it does make me laugh though because, you know, by English standards, that's quite a big car. It's like a family size SUV, and yet you guys call it compact.
No, it's not a compact here. It's a mid-size SUV.
Somebody here is calling it a compact.
No, nobody's.
No.
No, it's not a compact.
Anyway, it's certainly not. It's probably one of the largest ones they sell here, whereas actually for you it's mid-size.
So. Yep. Oh, by the way, a show note for us, dude. 3 weeks from today, we'll be leaving for New York for a week. So
yes.
No show that week.
No show that week.
So there's a lot of stuff going on in the tech world. We're not going to get to everything. But I do want to read John Nemo's email that he sent. And I was going to read this on the last show, but I forgot. And he said, David is laughing more in this show than he has done in the previous 504 combined. And your story about shoplifting with the Mexican is an instant classic. Please find one about the guy driving through the front window of your auto parts store and play that one on the next show, on one of the next shows. Yeah, so it wasn't a guy. Do you remember this story?
Vaguely.
So,
not the details, though.
Yeah, I was a manager, and I was still in high school. I mean, go figure. I was a manager of an auto parts store called Action Auto. So we had gas pumps, we had a six-bay garage, we had a full auto parts store, and then the convenience stuff, you know, pop and chips and stuff like that. So it was kind of a ahead of its time type of place because we did a lot of stuff. And I was in high school, and I was one of the managers of the store. Mm-hmm. And the people who ran it, though, were crooked. They were stealing money from the company, and that's why they went under. Because all of a sudden, I couldn't order anything because they weren't paying anybody, even though we were busy as hell.
Yeah.
You know, what do you mean we don't have any money? You know, we're making money hand over fist. Well, the people running the company were stealing it all. Hmm. Anyways, that's neither here nor there. During the week, I came in, and we had a receptionist who I really liked her. She was a nice person, but she was terrible at her job.
Right.
And I don't remember why, but I had to let her go. I can't remember her name either. I had to let her go. And mm-hmm. It was one of the first people I've ever had to fire, which is is not a pleasant experience. I don't care who you are. It's just not. But she was totally like, I understand, and you're right. And so she had said, can I still get my car fixed here? I was like, yeah, and I'll still hook you up with a discount. Doesn't take any money out of my pocket. I don't mind to give her a little bit of a break. So she was going to bring her car. I didn't know why. She was going to bring her car in that weekend. Okay. We had opened, I think we opened at like 7 a.m. And I'm in the kind of the back area in the auto parts place. We don't even have a mechanic on duty yet. There's one parts guy there and then a receptionist or a cashier. Yeah. And the cashier sits on this kind of like a little high platform, kind mm-hmm. of like a little island.
Yeah.
Towards the front of the store, but not right in front of the store. And all of a sudden, there's this incredible, this explosion. Boom! And part of the whole front wall just comes tumbling in, and a car comes screaming into our store. And the engine's... Rah! And it's just dust is everywhere.
Yeah.
There's this loud... You know, as bricks fall down and glass is shattered, and it had actually bumped into where the cashier was and moved that whole island like a foot, but it just barely grazed it. And, you know, shelves are all over the place and stuff's all over the floor. And I mean, it was unbelievable.
Yeah.
So I go over to it and there's the cashier that I had fired, and she's gripping the wheel and her eyes are wide open. And she's not revving the engine, but it's just really loud when it's in the middle of your store.
Yeah.
So I reach in, I turn off her car, and she just kind of looks at me and says, I came in to get my brakes checked. And I said, they don't work.
Yeah.
So that was fun. Mm.
So I've actually got a very similar story. When I was a student, before I went away to university, I worked at a hi-fi shop not far from where I lived up the road, and they sold TVs, stereos, hi-fis up towards the top end. So they sold big Sony TVs, Trinitron TVs. This is like the late 80s, so you know
when Sony's TVs were the best.
They were, yeah, but
they're still up there, by the way.
Yeah. This is before LCD TVs, so mm-hmm. they're all big TVs. It was like we had a lot. Basically, half the place had TVs and video recorders.
36-inch was a giant TV back then.
Exactly. Yeah.
Two and people also move it.
Virtually unliftable. Yeah. Yes. Exactly. I did a lot of box shifting in the store. The store, by the way, the front was okay, but the back was absolutely tiny, and it was just piled up. It was like an island of TV boxes, and you'd have to climb up and to get TVs out and this sort of thing. So. The other half of the store was a Bang & Olufsen stereo dealership. So nice. Bang & Olufsen, very high end, particularly in the, particularly in the late '80s, and they had some very cool stuff. They still do. Yeah, a hi-fi where the front was two glass doors, and when you went to put the CD in, they would slide open like a Star Trek door.
Yeah,
and you put the CD like on a spindle, and then you could see it spinning while it's playing. Amazing sounding speakers, big floor standing things. Anyway, and then they sold a lot of smaller Sony stuff, and so that's kind of store. Well, it was a chain, a local chain. They had three or four other stores. And there was one in a village probably about 5 miles away from where I worked. And one day I come in and they go, oh, yeah, the Hadley store was robbed last night. I said, oh, how so? And they said, oh, it was RAM raided.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. So they had the video because obviously even though it was in the 80s, right, and CCTV wasn't very good, this was a high-end consumer electronics store that sold audio-video stuff. They had a Sony camcorder pointed at the door all the time. And, every few hours they would change out the tapes in it. And so they'd had a camcorder watching this raid. It happened about 11 o'clock at night. And they showed me the tape. Somebody made a copy of the tape and sent it around to all the stores. So you see the store, and it was much smaller than ours. You see the store, and then you see this car go past outside. Yeah, and then it turns around, it comes back the other way. Yeah, much more slowly, right? And, if you were watching this and without knowing what was about to happen, you'd think, oh, it's a taxi picking something up, something. And then it stops, and it just reverses at really high speed and turns really hard and crashes through the front door of the store on the video, right? Now, obviously, as with you, stuff goes everywhere.
Oh, yes.
Yeah? They hadn't really got an awful lot of speed up, so the car didn't come that far into the store. But it was one of those old-type stores. It wasn't new glass frontage. It was an old-type store where it used to be where the original building, the doorway had like a little shelter, like a little stoop.
Oh, yes.
So can you imagine? So that was windows on the side. So what happens is when they reverse in through the doors and their car comes about 3 feet through the doors, what that means is those two pillars supporting the stoop are basically right on the back doors. So the guys in the back who would get out to try and rob things can't get out. So they open the door about 3 inches and they can't get out. So they kind of crawl on the, we're watching all this in the video. They crawl kind of Dukes of Hazzard style out of the back windows of this Ford Focus they've stolen for this, right? There's stuff everywhere. And they start picking up TVs. And as we were saying, these were big, heavy TVs. Yeah,
were they going to get maybe two or three tops?
Well, this is the thing. They've already damaged a lot of them. Well, they can't even get them in the car. The back... They've damaged the back of the car by ram raiding because they've reversed it in. They can't get the hatch open in the back. Yeah. So one of them picks up a TV and uses it to smash the back window. Right. And then once the back window's smashed, they pick up two more TVs and kind of jam them in. Right against the broken glass and the metal. Exactly. You're just thinking, you are not helping yourself here, guys. Because basically, you are not getting anything out of this crime of the century. And then they go racing off. So the car, like, peels out. Pulls some of the frontage away again as it peels out. With these two TVs sticking out the back window, right? And they peel out. And as they peel out and disappear off, yeah, immediately see a police car with the blue flashing lights following them.
They didn't get away.
They didn't get away at all. They got pulled over about half a mile away. It was not because with having two big CRT TVs sticking out the back window, they weren't exactly able to do.
That's a bad look.
Yeah. But we got the whole thing on video, so I'm sure the court appreciated that.
Yeah, that's wow. Yeah, I didn't even think it. I doubt if it even went to court. They probably
you'd be surprised, to be honest.
Yeah, true.
You'd be surprised. A lot of people go to court and then when they realise all the witnesses have turned up and that if the prosecution is really ready and all of that, and their defence brief is saying, you know what, I don't think you're going to get away with this. It might be better to plead guilty now. I see from the court stuff I do that a lot of people plead guilty on the day once they realise it's not going to go their way.
Yep. So let's talk about a little bit of the news before we wrap up this show, because we've got just a little bit of time left. But this is what I've been, I cannot believe it's 2024 and this finally happened. Ticketmaster is getting sued by the Department of Justice. Yeah. And are you kidding me? It took this long. So for those who are not in the U.S., I don't know if Ticketmaster reaches to where you are or not.
We have exactly the same problem here.
So Ticketmaster is owned by a parent company. And that parent company has their concert promoters, their ticket sellers, they own venues, and it's been known. This isn't like, well, we think this has happened. It's been known that they will lock bands and groups into deals that they pretty much have to accept because they own all the concert places in certain areas.
You want to appear at our arena.
Not even your arena. You want to be in the city. We own the only arena.
Yeah,
or exactly. If they don't own the arena, they have a under deal. The table deal
partnership. So they say to the band, we will sell your tickets. You will not sell your tickets. We will decide how much you get from each ticket sale. We will add on whatever fees and concessions we want to add on. Yeah. Oh, and by the way, and of course, the glorious thing the internet has brought us as well is that they have effectively automated and legalized ticket reselling.
Yep.
What they call ticket touting.
Yep.
Yeah. Because what happens now is guys go online, they buy up big blocks of tickets, and then they resell them for auction on Ticketmaster's own reselling site.
Correct.
Which all does nothing except drive access to all the tickets way above the face value, and the face value is already high anyway. But instead of paying $150 for that ticket, it's probably going to be more about $650 for that ticket now. Everyone knows this has been going on, and nobody up until now has done anything about it.
Nothing's been done, and bands have been complaining, venues have been complaining, and more importantly, the buyers, the attendees of these events have been complaining, and nothing was ever done
until Taylor Swift happened.
Yep.
So they had an outage because there was so much demand for the tickets. Even with all of this, there was still huge demand for their tickets, and their systems fell over. And that raised the profile enough that all of a sudden Congress took notice. And once they started looking at it, they realized, hey, this is probably very, very anti-consumer.
Yeah.
And they're on the warpath now.
I'm not usually a big advocate of breaking up companies. This one needs to be broken up.
Yeah.
It's so anti-consumer, it's disgusting.
Yeah.
I mean, ticket prices are stupid.
Well, I think that online professional ticket touting needs to be banned right around the world for a start.
Yep, I agree.
Before you even get to the anti-competitive of the arenas and the deals and having to use their own reseller and all of that, I think StubHub and all these other companies that allow you to resell tickets, everybody knows that they are not people who suddenly found they can't go to a show and resell them their tickets. That's what it was meant to be for.
Yep.
Everybody knows that it's professional, legalized ticket touting.
Yeah.
Right. And then they need to be banned. I think they need to be shut down.
I agree.
They need to be made illegal. And then the second hand is, you should not allow promoters who own venues to be the ones responsible for selling tickets. Yeah. It needs to be completely and transparently independent, because otherwise it is effectively a monopoly. And that's what it is.
Well, no? There's no. Monopolies themselves aren't illegal. It's that when a monopoly uses that monopoly power to stifle competition,
which is what they've been doing.
Exactly. Well, and they've been doing it for 25 years. That's the part that pisses me off.
The thing is when Live Nation, who are the company who own these venues and everything, when they bought Ticketmaster, that was approved by the regulator.
Yep.
By the US regulator. who basically said, yeah, no, that's fine. And they shouldn't have never, they should never have allowed that.
No, you're absolutely right. You know?
And it's the same here in the UK. It's exactly the same. We hardly ever go to concerts anymore, which is because they've become so expensive.
Oh, and it's the same thing. Old.
Yeah, it's the same thing that that happens is that the tickets are never available direct from the reseller on the day.
No.
Yeah, they are immediately out of stock, and then you have to go to a ticket touting operation to buy them. A professional ticket touting operation, most often owned by the people who sold the tickets at face value in the first place. Yep. You know,
the only time I've seen just the opposite happen is on Facebook. A friend of yours will post something, hey, I've got tickets to this game. I've got two tickets. We can't go. Does anybody want them?
Yeah. The problem is on Facebook, there's an awful lot of people who, because there's no consumer controls at all on Facebook, who are scamming for that. You know, they are selling.
I did say friends.
Yeah. Yeah, but they posted this is their the problem is it's some people will go, oh, somebody on Facebook came into my timeline and is offering me tickets to a football game or something like that. And very often they, you know, some of these are overseas and people travel there and then find they can't get in because the tickets they've sold are either fake or they're meant to meet somebody there who never turns up and it's just a scam.
Yeah.
You know, because there's no consumer protections on Facebook.
Last thing I want to talk about. And this is something that's been happening over and over and over again. You know about the school shooting at Robb Elementary School.
I do. Yeah. The Uvalde shooting.
Yeah. It's terrible. And this
was the one where the cops stood outside
and did nothing.
Frightened to go in and did nothing. Yeah.
Yeah. It's disgusting. Well, now the families of the shooting victims are suing Activision and Meta.
It's a weird combination.
Well, they're saying because the shooter learned about guns in Call of Duty. I'm so tired of parents blaming the video games instead of the shitty upbringing that the shooter had.
Yeah.
And it's like, look, I don't care if you play the video game or not. The video game did not inspire him to get a weapon and kill kids. That's not what happened.
But the lawyer who's running this case has basically picked everybody who's got a big fat bank account to say, well, let's lump as many of them in as possible and hope we get a settlement. That I mean, Activision are never going to have to appear in court to defend this.
No.
Because I think everybody recognises that lots and lots of people play Call of Duty and most of them don't go out and shoot up a school, right? They're also suing the manufacturer of the weapons, which I think probably has a little bit more legs because apparently they market themselves very much as a, you know, rough, tough AR-15s or what you want type company. And I can understand that being more a thing. But Activision and even Facebook, I know Facebook's controls are crappy, but again, lots of people use Facebook and don't go out and shoot up things.
So here's what they're saying. Because you're like, well, why is Meta being sued? They also mentioned that he frequently visited Instagram, which advertised the gun maker's products. The lawsuit claimed as well that Instagram gave gun makers an unsupervised channel to speak directly to minors in their homes, at school, even in the middle of the night. It argued that the shooter was a poor and isolated teenager from a small town, Texas. They kind of said that weird. Who also learned about the AR-15s and set the sights on it because he was exposed. Oh, bullshit. Exposed to the weapon in Call of Duty and visiting Instagram.
That's a First Amendment issue. That, I mean, unfortunately, that is the First Amendment. You are allowed to do that sort of stuff. You know, you can argue that controls should be in place, but unless there's a law that says. Now, Meta, I presumably their defense will be, well, we do have controls in place to try to stop young people seeing that sort of stuff.
But they lie about their age when they sign.
But they lie about their age, and we can't come round and visit everybody's homes.
Right.
Does Meta do enough?
No.
I agree that, but I don't think you're going to be able to. For a court case, you've got to prove the direct causation to the individual who committed the act, and right. I don't think they're going to have any.
And I'll be honest, my heart goes out to those parents. It absolutely does.
Of course it does. Yeah. But I think The problem is where the blame needs to be lie, who needs to be sued, who needs to be prosecuted, are the parents of that kid. I know there was a case earlier this year where the parents of a shooter who basically had facilitated his activities were prosecuted and found guilty. That needs to happen a lot more, because then parents won't abrogate their responsibilities in the same way, and they realise it might come back to them. But I think, unfortunately, suing Activision for Call of Duty in particular, and even Meta in this case, I think is, you know, it's probably worth a go, but I don't think it's going to go anywhere. I really don't.
I don't either.
You know, and even the gun manufacturer. The problem is guns are legal, and those sorts of weapons are legal. And the controls to stop people getting hold of them when they may not have a good view on life are pretty weak in America. You know, they would be much better. Well, maybe not. I personally, if I were in their position, I would be lobbying Congress for better gun laws, but maybe that's also a waste of time. I don't know. You know, all I'd say is we've banned all those guns here, and we don't have this problem. Very, very rare that we get these sorts of shooting incidents here. So, you know, I'm not saying that that's the only way of doing it, but...
I'm just tired of... Look, as a parent ourselves, if this happened to our kids, we would want justice, no question. And I get wanting to blame everybody. I do. But... the lawyers are just simply taking advantage of these families at this point, and they're looking to cash in.
Yeah.
And
the lawyers are taking the view, well, win or lose, we hopefully get paid. So
exactly.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. It does seem to be a little bit exploitative.
Yeah. That kind of pisses me off. I mean, they've been through so much, these parents and these kids that were just needlessly killed like this. It's just, it's a massive tragedy. But then you see the police, and you're like, wait a minute.
Now, the police department has settled with them.
Yes.
And that, in some respects, is important, because I think the police department did have a lot of responsibility here, because they did not act to stop the shooter quick enough.
Correct.
You know, they cared more about
their own safety than...
Yeah.
If you're a cop, your job is to protect the public, not to protect yourself. I'm not saying the cops have to needlessly, you know, put themselves in danger, but if that's the job... Then don't get the job if you can't put yourself between a bullet and a child. And that's exactly what those cops did.
That's why they're armed.
That's exactly why they're armed.
They seem to have no difficulty in emptying a clip into somebody who's they pulled over at a traffic stop. But when they know the guy's got a gun, all of a sudden they get a bit cautious. It's not really what you want.
No. So with that, we're going to wrap up this episode of Tech Fan. We'd love to get your feedback. theshow@techfanpodcast.com. You can find us on Twitter. I don't post to the Tech Fan thing on Twitter anymore. It's all under the MyMac now. So simply go to @MyMac and you'll find both MyMac and all the other shows in the network, including Geeks Pub and this one, Tech Fan. And of course, we are on Facebook. It's Tech Fan Podcast. So David, I'll see you in a week, and we'll be doing Geeks Pub.
See you then.